And one of them was in a teaching I did last year on this Torah portion. Because I went over both of them I did last year, and I noticed that one, it stuck out because it's kind of along the lines of what a lot of us been teaching on. I was in prayer the other night, and I talked to my wife about this. You know, I got three girls, and you know, sooner or later, Dayton's gonna come up. So I'm looking for something in the scripture, right? You know, when's a good time for them to start dating? You know, because you know, we talk to different people. Everybody has different answers and this and that, and I have my thoughts. You know, it's never. You know, but I can't do that. That would be crazy. But anyway, I found a great example in the scripture, and I've never seen it before. But Jesus lived 33 years, and he didn't date one time. So I figured if they live past 33, then, you know, they can go ahead and do it. But that's something I do think about, though. But I found the example. Once they get old enough, we go on to that scripture. Yeah, you needed that one, brother. So, I got to do this, Pastor. As many times you got me. Anyway, we was fishing yesterday, and we had a group of guys come in, and we fish them. We fish them, I think, 3 years. Pastor been fishing them. I fished them for 2 years, and they pretty rowdy. We're on a boat yesterday. We can, you know, we fishing away from, and the other guys can, you know, we can hear them. And the other guys is, boy, I feel sorry for Jesse today. So anyway, throughout the day we can hear them, and the guys talk about, man, he must be getting it over there. So anyway, we come in, we catch our limit, we come in, and I was the first boat there, and I was messing around in my boat, and I heard another boat come. I can hear some music. I'm like, man, I turn around, who's that? I'm like, cool, that's Pastor. That's Pastor, man, the music was kicking. Anyway, they had this song playing by ZZ Top, Cheap Sunglasses. And whenever Pastor got close to him, I looked at him like that, and he shook his head, man. So that was funny. We had a kick with that. And it didn't stop there either. It didn't stop there. We was jamming the whole time we was cleaning fish. All right. I don't have too much tonight, but sometimes less is more. Sometimes it's better to say less. Or I'm going to say that again. Sometimes less is more. I hear you, Pastor. And less could be more effective, though. You know, so we have to be careful. We have to listen to the Spirit whenever it's time to speak. Especially on our job, with our family. You know, everywhere as we go, we have to be careful. We're speaking what the Father wants us to speak. Because the first thing that's going to come up is what we want to say. But sometimes we just have to settle down and listen. You know, I was thinking about the Torah portions, and, you know, we've been doing it for a few years now, and the reason why it's so important to me, and I believe to everybody, is because the Torah is the foundation. Without the Torah, there's no Brit Hadashah, there's no prophets. You needed the Torah. So that's why it's so important, and that's why it's bringing a new level of understanding to everybody who's willing to dig in. Because you still have to dig in. You still have to dig into it, but it brings a new level of understanding. So we're going to talk about the first generation of Israelites that came out and the second that inherited the promised land and the difference. What was different about them? We knew that they were hard-headed like us, but there was something else. There's a reason why the Father didn't bring them in. And we're going to look at that. All right, this is the first generation This is in Numbers 13:25. And they returned from searching out the land after 40 days. So Moses sends them in to search out the land of Canaan, the promised land that's their possession. The father promised them this land. So they went to search it out. And they returned from searching out the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregations of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So if you read their report, there's a reason why they said what they said. And it goes back to war. They wasn't trained for war. They were so busy in the wilderness worrying about what they didn't have and what they left that they didn't get ready. They wasn't trained for war, but one, Caleb. Caleb was trained for war because he told him, he said, "We can defeat them. We can go up and take them." So Caleb was trained for war, but the children of Israel didn't, because they was too focused on all the other things. That's why the father had them there. He was getting them ready. You know, they couldn't just walk into the promised land. And he was trying to teach them that. He was trying to get them trained for war, but they refused to do it. And that's exactly what they did. They refused to do it. So let's go to Numbers 14. And look at something here. So we move on to Numbers 14. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, If only that we had died in the land of Egypt." There they go again. You know, they just couldn't get past that. Or "if only we had died in the wilderness." Well, you know, sometimes you got to watch what you wish for. That's a bold statement to make to Elohim. Very bold. So the children of Israel, whenever I read it, I noticed something, that they took their salvation for granted. And we take a lot of things in life for granted, including our salvation. We take it for granted. And we murmur and we complain about things that we shouldn't. And we let things get to us that we shouldn't. They really shouldn't get to us, but they do. The scripture uses a different word or term to describe this. Scripture uses the word neglect. And we'll look at the scripture. There's a couple of them in a Brit Hadashah that uses the word neglect. But first we're going to look at the word neglect. Because we shouldn't neglect our salvation. That's exactly what the children of Israel did. Neglect means you know about it, but you refuse to do anything about it. You know it. You're neglecting it. We know what we have to do. But a lot of times we neglect our responsibility as believers. So we're going to look at a word in the court system or it's a criminal activity. Negligent homicide is a criminal charge brought against a person who, through criminal negligence, allows another person to die. And this is exactly what the children of Israel did to themselves. They allowed themselves to die. You see it happening, you know it will happen, but you do nothing about it. You know, and I think back on my life, there's a lot of times I've done this. Like, man, why I just don't do it? Because it takes discipline. You know, if you sign up in the military, for the military, they bring you through training. You have to discipline yourself. You can't wake up one day and tell your soldier, I'm not training today. Yeah, well, go ahead and try that. You know, they're going to boot you out or they're going to do something, but you're not going to get away with it. You're either going to do it or you out. And that's the same thing the Father does. We have to do it. We have to discipline ourselves. So they were guilty of negligent homicide to their self. They couldn't get past their self to get to the battle. Think about it. They couldn't get past defeating their own self, their flesh, for the Father to bring them to the battle. And I thought, you know, whenever I'm going through, I'm examining my life. You know, not the folks I'm coming to talk to. I have to examine me first. So I'm like, man, you know, I got to get better at this. You know, I got to get better at defeating the flesh, because if not, if I can't defeat my flesh and bring my flesh under subjection, there's no way I could take on the enemy, Hasatan. There's no way. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. They couldn't get past their self for the Father to take them to the battle. If we don't get past ourselves, if we can't bring our flesh under subjection, we're not going to inherit the promised land. It's always going to be something that hinders us. We're going to look at Hebrews 1. One through two. Yeah, we're gonna read this whole chapter because our focus is on Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, but I want to keep it in a context because Hebrews 1 describes the angels. It's a small description of angels and Yeshua. Elohim, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he had made the world. So Elohim spoke to the people through the prophets and the fathers in them days, in the Torah and the prophet days. But he's saying at this time he spoke through us, through his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of Elohim worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore Elohim, even thy Elohim, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above the fellows. And thou, Yahweh, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old, as doeth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he, at any time sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits set forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So we're talking about heirs of salvation now. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Master and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So we won't escape. And it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, we can't neglect our salvation. It has to be dear to us. So the children of Israel neglected their salvation, and because of it, they wasn't ready for war. 2 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. So if there's a gift, you know the Father's given you, meditate on them. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear it. So there's gifts that we have that you know, he says we shouldn't neglect them, because the gift that the Father gives us, it benefits the whole community, the whole church. It benefits us. So we have to, he says that we should meditate on that. We should think about them, you know, and pray about them. You know, what you want me to do with them, Father? All right, now we're going to move on to the second generation. And this generation was trained for war. They were trained for war, and we're going to look at it. Joshua 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, it came to pass that Yahweh spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Just reading them two scriptures, this is an indicator that they were ready for war. Because he says, it's time. It is time. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. And we're going to move to, we're going to move down to verse 16. So Moses went down a list of things for the children of Israel to do before they go into the promised land. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. You know, that's exactly what the Father wants us. He wants to hear that from us. Wherever you send me, it doesn't matter. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, it doesn't matter. Because I know that if I'm following Yeshua, that I'm going to win. I'm going to win this war. I'm inherit my possession that you have for me. And they go on. Whosoever he be that do it, rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and be of good courage. So I notice something here. The people encourage their leader. They encouraged him. And just because the Father released them to go inherit the promised land, they still had a responsibility. And they knew it because they said, whoever don't listen, we're going to kill them. That's what they said. Read that again. So we still have a responsibility. Whosoever he be that do it rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. So the responsibility didn't change. It was still the same. So if we take the scripture and we take the things that we're being taught by the speakers here, by our pastor, if we take them and we filter our life through them, we'll be ready for war. We'll be trained for war. And that's what we have to do. We have to filter our life through the scripture. And if we do that, we'll be trained for war. So the land was not just handed to them. They had to go up against kingdoms. You know, we got to go up against things. We know. If anybody knows, we know down here. I mean, hurricanes and all, it's always something. But you know something? Every time we trust the Father, and he got us through it. And he's just training. He's training us for war. That's all he's doing. He's getting us ready. So we have to make sure that we're disciplined. And that's the tough part. The discipline is tough. But we can do it. You know, there are so many examples in the scripture of guys. I mean, Paul and Yeshua. I mean, that's two of the greatest examples in the scripture. They brought their flesh under subjection. And when you do that, it'll be all right. You know, it'll be all right. We'll move down to Hebrews. Well, we'll go to Hebrews 12:7. Yeah, we'll look at this one. If ye endure chastening, discipline, Elohim dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening or discipline, wherefore, whereof all are partakers, then all are ye illegitimate sons. And sons not. So in other words, what helps us recognize that we're, or understand that we're sons of Elohim is because we get chastised by Him. We get disciplined by Him. And that we should be glad, because that tells us, well, I'm still a son. So we should be glad. And I know it's hard to be glad when you're disciplined, because nobody likes it. I know I don't. But whenever He disciplines us, we should like it. We should like it. And we should be thankful that He does it, because He don't want to leave us in a situation that we're in, or He don't want to leave us in a state that we're in. He wants us to improve. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, our natural fathers, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers of spirits and live? Man, how much more should we be thankful? And we should reverence Him more. We should respect Him more. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness, unto them we are exercised. Unto them which are exercised. Let me start over. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The fruit of discipline is righteousness. The willingness to put your shoe on daily and putting on an armor daily for war. You know, we have to discipline our flesh and make it our slave. Because if we don't, another thing's going to happen. We're going to be slave to our flesh. And we know that's not good. Because whenever we're making decisions, making bad decisions, and doing things we shouldn't do. Because we're mastered by the flesh. But we have to bring it under subjection and discipline our flesh and make it our slave. Well, that's all I had for tonight. But I'm thankful that the Father disciplines me, you know, because I need it. You know, we all need that discipline, because nobody has all the answers. You know, we don't have all the answers. You know, we try to come up with things in our head and try to make things happen. But the Father knows it all. And that's why He disciplines us. You have anything, Pastor? No? Well, thanks for coming out and thanks for giving me the opportunity to share with y'all tonight. And we will see y'all in the morning.